Well, it's about 3 o'clock, and you're here on Juno Afternoon. My name's Ann Fuller, and I'm hosting today. We'll find out about Saturday's Walk for the Poor. Steve Quinn will give us an update on the Juno Youth Hockey Program. Eric Caldwell and Mike Christensen of Road Warriors of Improv will be here to give us a preview of their Friday night show at the Hangar. And we'll find out about Aware Advocacy Training with Rachel Brown. That, Writer's Almanac, music, and more. Here it's Wednesday on K2FM. For your weather today, rest of today mostly cloudy, an east wind. Tonight, rain likely, southwest wind going to northwest.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, recent killing on a reserve in the western province of Saskatchewan has shocked the country. A 6-year-old boy was killed, and a 12-year-old is being held responsible for the death. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the case has raised many questions.
6-year-old Lee Bonneau was found in a wooded area not far from the Kakawistaha First Nation where he was last seen. He died in hospital from injuries that police say were consistent with an assault. Police say another child, who was under 12 years of age and cannot be named because of his age, is responsible. But that child is too young to be charged and is now in the care of social services and being assessed. The Minister of Social Services, June Droughty, says there is no secure facility for a child of his age.
We are constantly monitoring him on a very, very regular basis. If we feel that there's even a little bit of a chance that more should be done, I've told him I want to be notified immediately.
Police say the young suspect, who is from the reserve, is known to them. Officials describe the boy as troubled. Officials with social services say they will focus on the boy's treatment and the safety of the community. Droughty has ordered an investigation by the province's child and youth advocate and wants recommendations made public. She hopes the review will help gain some understanding of how this could have occurred and what, if anything, can be done to prevent another such tragedy. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Colville tribes in Washington are now among a handful of tribes across the country to recognize same-sex marriage. KWSO's Will Robbins has more.
With no objections, Washington's Colville Tribal Council voted Thursday to amend the tribe's domestic code to recognize all marriages on the reservation. Tribal Council Chairman Michael Finley said tribal culture has long recognized that some people are born a certain gender and are drawn to people of that same gender. Finley told the Wenatchee World newspaper that gay and lesbian people have always been accepted, saying it will mean that same-sex partners can have the same rights as married couples of different sexes. Not all 14 members of the council were present for the vote, but there was enough to meet the tribe's quorum requirement. The amendment to the tribe's constitution affects some 9,360 members who are descendants of 12 different tribes and are members of the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation. About half of them live on the 1.4 million acre reservation in Washington. For National Native News, I'm Will Robbins.
One of the largest tribes in the nation has approved its budget of more than $500 million. As KGOU's Kirk Wartney reports, the tribe plans to spend part of the money on community outreach.
The Cherokee Nation Tribal Council approved a $566 million operating budget for the next fiscal year. The Oklahoma Tribe's 2014 fiscal year begins October 1st. Tribal Council members approved a $92 million capital improvements budget. They also set aside more than $4 million for a new residential treatment facility for Native American youth battling alcohol and substance abuse. The approved budget includes money for more community meetings in the Cherokee Nation's 14-county jurisdiction. At the same meeting this month, the Tribal Council confirmed Chuck Hoskin, Jr. as the new Secretary of State for the tribe. He begins that position immediately. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
The Massachusetts Joint Committee on Economic Development and Emerging Technologies has approved a tribal gaming project. The committee Tuesday approved the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe's revised gaming compact with the state. According to the tribe, under the compact, Massachusetts will receive at least $2.1 billion in revenue over 20 years. It will also provide funds for transportation, education, and tourism. The casino resort in Taunton is expected to create jobs and boost the economy. The compact needs to be approved by the full state legislature and the federal government. The tribe hopes to start construction next year. An online Canadian Aboriginal marketplace was launched Tuesday. The site shopindigenous.ca is selling authentic native goods. It features more than 24 categories, including jewelry, art, and music. Heather Abbey, CEO of Shop Indigenous, says the site is a low-cost marketing tool for Aboriginal artisans and will help increase their exposure in a global market. During this month in 2012, Cyril Scott was sworn in as president of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. He won the three-year term in a summer election. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And here we are at KTOO FM. Mindy Voigt is in the studio with me this afternoon, and so thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And tell us about the Walk for the Poor.
The Walk for the Poor is the annual fundraiser that St. Vincent de Paul does. It's to raise money for our aid that we give out to individuals that need help. All the dollars raised goes to help with electrical aid, oil aid, food aid, any kind of aid that an individual would need.
All right. So that's a very useful service that you folks are providing. And this is a walk that many people can participate in. How far are people going to walk?
The walk is for 2 miles. It starts at St. Paul's Church in the Valley, and we're heading towards Fred Meyers this year. Usually we walk down Mendenhall Loop, but this year we're going towards Fred Meyers. Anyone that wants to come is invited. You can bring children, but we ask that you do not bring pets.
All right. Registration is just happening on the day of the walk. And when is the walk?
The walk is this Saturday, September 14th, and registration starts at 9 a.m. at St. Paul's Church.
All right. And that's just opposite the entrance to Super Bear, I think.
Correct.
All right, so registration at 9, and the walk begins at 10?
Correct.
And then when you return, is there a little get-together afterwards?
Yes, there will be a little get-together in St. Paul's. We're going to have finger foods like sandwiches and veggies and some fruit.
All right. And you said that it was a fundraiser.
Correct.
So do walkers make pledges, or how does that work?
We're currently collecting donations, so any walker can collect donations, and at registration you can also donate at that time.
All right. That's excellent. And then also I see that if you cannot walk, there are ways to donate to St. Vincent de Paul directly?
Correct. You can go to our website, which is svdpjuno.org. Okay. I hope I got that right. Otherwise, Google search it. Or you can actually mail a check to our offices in the Valley on Till Street, or you can go to our thrift store, which is also on Till Street, and make a donation.
All right. So you've set things up so people, you're making it easy for people. And have you done this walk before or helped organize?
I've actually done the walk all 4 years. This will be the fourth year.
And what do you have a weather prediction for Saturday?
We're hoping and praying that it does not rain until after the walk, but every year it has rained, so bring your rain gear.
All right. That's very good advice. And so now you don't work for the Society of St. Paul?
No, I'm a volunteer on the board.
On the board. And you're setting this up. It sounds like an opportunity for lots of people to get involved.
Correct. The more the merrier.
That sounds wonderful. So this is the annual Walk for the Poor. Registration begins at St. Paul's Catholic Church at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. A two-mile walk to Fred Meyers and back, and then refreshments afterwards. And these go to fund the projects, which include direct aid to those who need it, affordable housing, travel assistance. It's a full spectrum.
Correct.
Charity event there. All right. And so, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey, till you spent all my money. No use for you to cry, I see you by and by.
With me here in the studio today are Steve Quinn and Michelle Kalki, and they're going to talk about Juno Youth Hockey, which the season's about to start, I think.
Yeah, and we have started already. We have our older kids are already been on the ice last week and again this week, and the rest of our kids will be starting September 23rd for our regular season.
All right, and what age does youth hockey start in Juneau?
We have kids out there from age 5 through 18. And we're here to tell you about today a little bit, reminding folks who kids who want to try hockey, we have our Intro to Hockey program. And that's going to start every Saturday, October 5th at 10:30 in the morning. And we're going to do something different this year to try to get more kids to try hockey. We had a successful little learn to play hockey session about 2 weeks ago, and we had about 50 kids come out. And so, you know, they don't know if they really want to try it or not. So that we're going to give a couple more times, October 5th and 12th at 10:30, and it's going to be free for kids to try it again and see if they really want to play hockey.
Excellent. And that's on the ice at the Treadwell?
Yes, Treadwell at 10:30 to 11:30. And kids, and parents, I guess, to have the kids there about 10 o'clock. So we have, I can get them all geared up, and we have free gear for them to use. We borrow the skates from the rink. So really, they just have to show up and, you know, wear some comfortable clothing, and we'll get them on the ice with our coaches and teach them how to play hockey.
Oh, now that sounds like a wonderful opportunity for someone who hasn't already gotten there on the ice. And then you said that your students who have been playing and know they want to participate this season, that season.
Yeah, it's underway, and like I said, the older kids are already on the ice, and our kids from 5 to 15 years old will be starting here September 23rd. And registration's still open, jdiahockey.com, and I encourage kids who are not signed up yet to get signed up and get ready to play hockey.
Well, sounds excellent. And how many young people in Juneau do play hockey?
Oh, probably about 150 to 175 kids from age 5 to 18 play. And they play their age group, and then they also participate in travel teams. And they also participate in our three camps. And we have one of those coming up on Saturday. It's a two-day camp. And it's run by a former pro and college standout named Steve McSwain. He's coming down from Anchorage. And what's really nice about Steve is he loves hockey. He loves sharing it with people outside Anchorage.
Uh-huh.
He's a scout for a team in Montana, and he really loves coming to Juneau. And we have a second event associated with Steve McSwain this weekend, too. The camp is 2 days. There'll be sessions on Saturday and on Sunday. And after the sessions on Saturday, that evening at 7:45, mm-hmm. we are going to unveil a piece of Olympic memorabilia from the 1980 gold medal Olympic
oh.
team. And this memorabilia will be a permanent fixture in Treadwell Ice Arena. The memorabilia is a team photo of the U.S. team that won that gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the signatures of every player who participated in the Olympics, plus the coaching staff.
Wow.
And our president, Arnold Liebelt, framed this, and it is beautiful. It absolutely is.
All
and
right.
This is a gift from Steve McSwain. It took him 22 years to get all the signatures.
Wow.
And he got this photo as a gift when he was 15 years old. And he was growing up playing hockey, and his love for hockey just it blossomed with the success of these older players. Mm-hmm. And this photo represented that success and that love of the game. And the thing that really makes me smile about what this photo did for Steve McSwain when he was young is that he writes how the poster has inspired me both inside the boards and in life. I hope it brings you the same kind of reminder that all things are possible, and never listen to those who say they aren't. And he closes his thought by saying, dare yourself to be great.
Yourself to be great. Now, yeah. There's a wonderful slogan for youth activity.
Any activity, certainly, whether it's in the classroom, on the ice, or other endeavors. If you were to watch him coach, you would just see how much he loves being on the ice with the kids. And he invites our volunteer coaches to be on the ice. And many of our coaches were pretty accomplished players themselves growing up. And he has fun. And even when he's yelling at the kids to get their attention, and you have to yell because you're in a big arena, and you want everybody to hear you, but he's still smiling. And he's engaged with the kids. He's working with them one-on-one, and he demonstrates how things are done. And you can just see he has their attention if you watch these kids and their eyes fixed on him.
Well, now that sounds wonderful. And so this is Steve McSwain?
Steve McSwain, yes.
And he'll be here this weekend working with kids and coaches. And now tell me the time again for the unveiling of this wonderful
The event
photo.
Will start at 7:45, mm-hmm. and pretty much after they get off the ice. And we are inviting the public for this. We want to share this with the public.
Absolutely.
And like I said, this is going to be a permanent fixture in Treadwell Ice Arena. And Treadwell is young by most standards for hockey rinks. It's starting its 11th year. Celebrated its 10th anniversary back in March, and I think this is a nice another step for Treadwell and for youth hockey. And you know, he could have chosen any youth association he wanted, but he wanted Juneau to have this.
Wow.
And what our board president Arnold Liebelt did is really spectacular, and I hope a lot of people will enjoy this for years to come.
Absolutely. It sounds like a wonderful addition to the... I mean, we have plaques and works of art in various places around town. And this one sounds like an inspirational piece.
Well, we hope it inspires kids to enjoy hockey. The nice thing about hockey is it's just something you can enjoy your entire life as a player, even if you don't go on to make a living with it. In the Adult Hockey League, we have a tier that's for people 40 and over. So, that's
which I'm in. So, do both of you play hockey then in Juneau? I started playing hockey about 8 years ago, or about 9 years ago when the Treadwell opened, and we didn't have a women's league at the time when it opened, so we started our own little league, and have grown a lot in our women's. I think we had at one point in time between 90 and 120 women playing hockey.
That's an excellent turnout.
Yeah,
and now you have your tournament coming up.
Yeah, and what's great, you know, for the youth hockey, my daughter plays too, but we're seeing a lot more girls coming out for hockey now, which is really great to know that there's a place in hockey for girls also.
Yes.
We had a lot of girls come out to our Learn to Play hockey a few weeks ago, and we really would love to see every one of them back on the ice October 5th and then every Saturday.
Okay, so we're encouraging people new to ice hockey to come and play, and it does sound, these Saturday introductions, the dates for those again?
So October 5th mm-hmm. and October 12th, they're free, mm-hmm. and we'll have all the gear and the skates and coaches, and we'll have players there to help the kids, you know, kind of get motivated and excited about hockey. And then if the kids are hooked and they want to try, you know, they want to keep playing, it's $99 for the whole season for them to sign up. And it's a great opportunity. Our coaches are awesome. Steve's one of our younger coaches, and it's just a lot of fun for the kids to get out there and try hockey. And I want to tell you, too, on the camp, Steve McSween's mm-hmm. camp, Steve Quinn just said, it's Saturday and Sunday. It's on our website. It's jdiahockey.com. And the camp is $99. I wanted to thank the CBJ Youth Activity Grant. They helped subsidize having Steve come down and put this camp on for us. So we appreciate the city's support. And we want to have as many kids get out there and be inspired by Steve McSween.
Yes, that sounds like a wonderful thing. So details for all of these can be found on jdiahockey.com.
Yes.
And I suppose that's a good website to go to even a couple of weeks from now when we want to know what's going on with hockey, right?
Yes.
We'll be posting updates on everything that's happening throughout the season.
Okay.
Pictures and schedules and, you know, payments, how to register for all our camps or hockey or anything is there.
All right. Well, this sounds like there's a lot going on over at Treadwell Arena. That's over in the town of Douglas. And I'm not going to try and recap all those things. Just it all sounds intriguing to me, so I hope people are taking notes or willing to go to that website, jdiahockey.com, and come to the arena. Bring your kids for try-it-out sessions to learn about hockey. And this very Saturday evening, the dedication of a wonderful new piece of art, the 1980 Olympic gold medal team.
Yes,
all autographed and set to be at our arena.
Yeah, so leaving parting words, as Steve mm-hmm. McSween and Steve mentioned, but his quote of, dare yourself to be great.
That's a wonderful sentiment to come in with. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 11th of September, 2013. It's the birthday of William Sidney Porter, better known by his pen name O. Henry, born Greensboro, North Carolina, 1862. He was a young man living in Texas when he was convicted of embezzlement at the bank where he worked, and he was sent to federal prison. He served 3 years in prison, didn't want anybody to know about it, told his daughter he'd been away on business, and it wasn't until after he died that the public learned that O. Henry, the famous author, had gotten his start in prison. One of his best-known stories, The Ransom of Red Chief, the story of two small-time cooks, Bill and Sam, who kidnap a wealthy young boy from Alabama. They ask for ransom, but the boy's father refuses because the boy's father knows that his son is a handful. And he is, and he makes the kidnappers' lives miserable. And in the end, they have to pay the father to take the son back. The Gift of the Magi, another famous story of O. Henry's, young married couple, Jim and Della. It's Christmas time. Della has beautiful long hair, which Jim is so fond of, and Jim has a gold watch that his grandfather had given him. They don't have much money. They want to give each other a wonderful gift for Christmas. So Jim ends up pawning the watch to buy his wife combs for her hair, and at the same time Della sells her hair for enough money to buy her husband a fob chain for his watch. And one of O. Henry's lesser-known stories, The Furnished Room, the story of a young man who rents a dingy room in a boarding house in Manhattan. He's been looking for the girl he loves who has disappeared. He thinks she may have lived in this room that he rents because he can smell her perfume. He asks the housekeeper if she has seen a beautiful girl with a mole on her left eyebrow, and the housekeeper says no. The young man locks himself up in the room. The scent of the perfume of his loved one gradually disappears. He seals off the room with strips of bed sheets, lies down, and kills himself by turning on the gas. And the story ends with the housekeeper explaining to a friend of hers that she rented a room to a young man that day, but because she didn't want to discourage him from renting, she didn't tell him that a young girl had killed herself turning on the gas in that same room 1 week before, a girl with a mole on her left eyebrow. It was on this date, 1914, W.C. Handy published his St. Louis Blues, his most famous song. He said the lyrics had been inspired by a woman he met on the streets of St. Louis, whose husband had taken off, and she said, "My man's got a heart like a rock cast in the sea." The song was a big hit right away. Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser, A Monday in May. It rained all weekend, but today the peaked roofs are as dusty and warm as the backs of old donkeys tied in the sun. So much alike are our houses, our lives, under every eave, leaf, cobweb, and feather, and for each front yard, one sentimental maple, who, after a shower has passed, weeps into her shadow for hours. Ted Kooser's poem, A Monday in May, from his collection Flying at Night, published by University of Pittsburgh Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith and produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Education is the theme for the September TED viewing at your public library. First, Sir Ken Robinson on principles crucial for the human mind to flourish. Then, the head of the Program for International Student Assessment will speak about results in different nations. And finally, Salman Khan, whose tutoring of a cousin led him to create the YouTube channel The Khan Academy, which now has 1 million subscribers. That's TED, September 26th at the Downtown Library, with refreshments provided by the Friends of the Juneau Public Library.
Support for this program comes from Balloons by Night Moods, offering new and used Halloween costumes from infant to adult sizes. Balloons by Night Moods, located at 9342 Glacier Highway in the Valley. More info at 523-1099.
And joining me in the studio right now are the Road Warriors of Improv, Eric Caldwell and Mike Christensen, who've been doing improvisational theater in town for a while, but have exciting news this fall.
Oh, yeah. We're not only in our 10th year now, but we're getting ready to hit the road, hence the Road Warriors of Improv name. We are heading out to Honolulu, Hawaii to perform at Improvaganza, the Hawaii Festival of Improv Theater, and then we'll be going up to Anchorage over Alaska Day weekend to do some shows up there with Scared Scriptless and with the Mike Brown Solo Improv Experience out of New York City.
My goodness, that does sound like quite a little tour.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Honolulu and Anchorage. And then you're kicking it off this week, for something here for folks in town, right?
Yes, we wanted to just have one tune-up show before we headed out and give people the opportunity to see us who may not have seen us in a while or who are regulars, and we just wanted to give them a nice little pay-as-you-can show, which we very rarely do, but just to say, you know what, show up, have a good time, enjoy yourselves,
and thank you.
And thank you.
Well, it's certainly a big step to think about going outside of Juneau, and what made this year be the right year for that?
Well, it's the second time we've actually gone outside, and the last time was also to Honolulu. Let me tell you, late September is a great time to leave Juneau for Honolulu. In this case, Mike and I have been doing a duo show for about the past year called Rorschach Pattern 9, and it's something that
I've changed the name, by the way. It's now Rorschach Pattern 907.
But it's something that since we've been doing this, we performed it at the Alaska State Improv Festival, which was hosted here in Juneau, and received some very positive feedback from improvisers from the lower 48.
Who basically said, we've never seen anything like that before. That was quite unique. We've developed here pretty much on our own, and we're not quite doing what other people are doing, I guess.
That sounds about, you know, par for Alaskans and Juneauites.
Very Juneau-esque.
But so you found out that what you're doing isn't just what everybody else is doing, and so you've worked up a show, and you're going to take it on the road.
Absolutely.
Yes. I like to describe it as, imagine, if you will, Antonin Artaud standing on one toe doing Lucky's monologue from Waiting for Godot while Arthur Rambo astride a black flamingo attempts ill-advisedly to woo Sappho with a canto cribbed from the love poems of Mojo Jojo.
Where I just say that we'd pretty much take all the things that we know how to do, put them in a blender, and put it on stage.
Okay, so that was Eric last and Mike before with the In a World Where intro for the improv show. Well, this is great. And do you know about who else will be in Honolulu?
There are going to be 20-some groups out there,
wow,
including one group is coming all the way from Paris, France to perform.
And they'll probably get my French references to Arto and Rambo.
Yes. That's
so
good.
In this show, we're doing something a little bit different. In addition to doing Rorschach Pattern 9, our touring show, we're also doing something called Mike and Eric Do the Classic, where we do our standard short form set, where we normally have a 5-person cast and do short form games like you would see on Whose Line Is It Anyway. Mm-hmm. But we're only doing it with two people.
We're going to party like it's 2003, basically. It's going back to the old things that we started out doing, the more of the game kind of improv.
Right, and input from the audience.
Mm-hmm. And occasionally we'll have to incorporate the audience because, well, let's face it, if we're doing a game like Dating Game where we have three lucky bachelors, a host and a bachelorette,
it's hard to do with two people.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to do with two people.
I see. You guys don't set things up to be very, very straightforward now, do you?
Well, we like to keep it interesting for ourselves, and hopefully that keeps it interesting for the audience as well. We're going to be doing some of the old shows and some of the things that I remember and some of the things that I half remember and some of the things that Eric is going to explain to me on stage as we're going on. He says, okay, now this is what we're going to do for this one.
All right.
And that's the most fun.
That's the most fun when you're up there just acting it out.
And surprising each other.
Right. And for Alaska Day, you're in Anchorage? And
we are.
And what venue is in Anchorage?
We will be at the Snow Goose Theater. Basically, the Snow Goose Brew Pub has a stage area, and so Scared Scriptless performs there twice a month, and they've taken one of their off weekends and said, you know what, we're going to invite Mike Brown, we're going to invite Mike and Eric up from Juno, and we're going to do a nice little show with three groups.
Three groups at the Snow Goose, though. So that's downtown Anchorage.
Yes.
Excellent. I think this sounds just wonderful. Give me all the details about the local Juno show.
The local Juno show is this Friday, 7 p.m., at the Hangar Ballroom. It is a pay-as-you-can show, so we're not doing advance tickets. Just show up at the door.
And empty your pockets.
Empty your pockets or keep them full, you know? Really, we just want people to come, enjoy themselves, have a great time. And if we make enough to pay off the venue, perfect.
Well, that sounds like quite the local show on Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
And
what better day?
What better day? So for folks who know your work, this is your chance to come see you. And for those who haven't seen improv yet, here are local
guides. It's a risk-free opportunity.
It is risk-free because you made it pay as you can. And we understand that it's going to be verbal gymnastics
and possibly some physical gymnastics.
Yes, if we can keep Eric uninjured up until Friday, which is always a challenge, there may be there's going to be some running around whether he injures himself or not.
What the viewers at home, the listeners at home, aren't seeing are the ankle brace that I've been wearing for the past 6 weeks.
So
we keep it interesting on stage.
Keep it interesting. That sounds.
The show must go on, even with a limp. It's.
I'm sure that Mike has a character in mind for you with a limp. Absolutely. All right. So these are the Road Warriors of Improv, local Juno performers who are doing a Friday night performance, 7 p.m. at the Hangar, pay as you can. And it's.
It's a cheap date.
It's the tune-up for their multi-state. Yeah, their road trip to Honolulu and Anchorage from Juneau, which has no road. Okay.
We like irony.
Yes. And there we go. It's hard to take people who do improv all the time, seriously all the time. But we do want to be accurate that it's Friday night at 7 p.m.
Correct.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
is Bird Note. As a teen, a friend of mine maintained trails in the national forests of Vermont. First day on the job, the leader asked everyone to say why he or she had signed up. "I like to be outside where I can hear the birds and see the trees," said one. "When my mom did this, she meant my dad," said another. "I'm getting a degree in forest biology. I want to ground truth what I'm learning." One big kid hung back, but when it was his turn, he boomed, "I like to work. I like to work hard." Soon, on Saturday, September 28th, our nation will celebrate National Public Lands Day with cleanup projects, educational hikes, and activities for families. Maybe you'd like to join in. More than one-third of all U.S. lands, as well as nearshore ocean waters, are owned and shared by us, the American public. Birds find our marine protected areas, national and state parks, military installations, national forests, and refuges for fish and wildlife essential. Bird Note celebrates the hundreds of thousands of volunteers who will be out on National Public Lands Day. And we tip our hat to the National Environmental Education Foundation for helping orchestrate the events. To find the activities nearest you, begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
Perseverance Theater opens its 35th season with the Broadway hit comedy and winner of the Tony Award for Best Play, Yasmina Reza's God of Carnage. Sharply written, savagely funny comedy, says the San Francisco Examiner. This comedy of manners without the manners is a side-splitting free-for-all about two married couples meeting to sort out a playground fight between their sons. It's an uproarious send-up of modern parenting, or the lack thereof, playing September 13th through October 6th. More information can be found online at perseverancetheater.org or by calling 463-TIXS.
This is Ann Fuller hosting Juno Afternoon, and with me in the studio right now is Rachel Brown.
Good afternoon, Ann.
Good afternoon. And you're here to talk to us about something from AWARE.
Yes.
Tell me.
Good enough. So I'm the volunteer coordinator at the AWARE shelter, and we twice a year offer an advocacy training. And so that's usually once in the spring and once the fall. And the advocacy training is an opportunity for people who are going to work at AWARE, either as paid staff members or volunteers from the community, and as well as members from the community and people from other agencies, to understand a little bit more about what we do and the issues that we try to address and help people, support people through here in Juneau and other Southeast communities. So the advocacy training is a 40-hour training. It's in two parts. It starts this coming Monday, September 16th, and runs through September 30th. And it's an opportunity for people to learn a little bit about domestic violence, sexual assault, the history of the battered women's movement, and all the strides we've made towards equality for men and women and families. And it's a way to understand a little bit more specifically about what AWARE does, in addition to providing shelter, providing services for children and families. And we do a lot of prevention work and education in the schools. And this is a way for people to first understand the issues that we're addressing and then to understand what AWARE does in the community, and gives people an opportunity to figure out how they may be involved in what we do as well.
All right. So it sounds like a way to get a lot of information to people. You said 40 hours?
Yeah, so it's in two parts, and so people are welcome to sign up for one or both parts of that training. And it starts this Monday the 16th, and it runs on Monday and Thursday evenings, and then weekends. So it's Mondays and Thursdays from about 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., and then about 9 to 5 on Saturdays and Sundays, all the way from the 16th to the 30th.
Yeah. All right. So those are the details about it. And you were talking about it helping people who want to work with AWARE, but also people who are eager to learn more about the issues and some of those education and violence prevention efforts that you're working on.
Absolutely. Yeah, we work with a a lot of agencies in town, and of course, the population we serve sometimes receives services or interacts with other agencies in the community. So some people who work as case managers or support staff, counselors, any of those kinds of positions find it really valuable to understand more about the dynamics that might be happening for people, for individuals and families who come to the shelter for services. And that way they feel they can better serve the populations that they're working with. And some people just find it to be a really passionate thing for them to understand more about these issues that happen in all over the world and specifically in our community and ways that they can support the efforts of AWARE. We have volunteers who take the training and do everything from take the recycling to the recycling center for us so we don't have to build creating meals for people who are staying in shelter. Help us with administrative work and sometimes even support women and children and individuals and families who come through our doors. So there's ways for volunteers to benefit from the training. Of course, it's something that all of our paid staff takes when they start working at AWARE. And then it's also great for community members. Some people are just interested in the topic and would like to learn more. And all of those people are invited. And all of the training is provided by staff members at AWARE. So it's people who've been working in the field and really understand what it's like to be there. And then we also have one great evening where we have a community panel. So some people from Office of Children's Services and from the Juneau Police Department and from Tlingit and Haida and different agencies that we interact with come and can answer questions and we can talk about sort of that relationship that we have with those agencies in town as well.
Excellent. So this is quite the educational opportunity.
Sure enough.
And I believe you introduced yourself as the volunteer coordinator.
Correct.
And so AWARE, it sounds, I love the different choices you gave of how people can volunteer and help. Have you been with AWARE for a while now?
I have. I've been there for almost 5 years and actually started out doing children's, as one of the children's counselors, doing counseling for children there. And I've just newly switched jobs in part because I have a brand new baby, so I'm only working part-time. But, yeah, I've been there a long time, so I feel like I really understand why AWARE exists and the benefit it creates for this community. And when I knew I was starting a family, I didn't want to stop working altogether because I love it there so much and I really believe in what they do. And so, the volunteer coordinator is just an opportunity to continue to interact with people and the community and the population we work with while also being able to find a better balance. And that's a thing we're always striving for. So even in the training, we talk about that balance between giving and being really compassionate and helping out and also taking good care of ourselves. That's a portion of the training as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so if people would like to get more information about this training, again, my name is Rachel Brown. My number is 586-1090, and that's the crisis line that we answer at AWARE 24/7. So if anyone would ever like to contact us, you can dial that number at any time, and someone will always pick up the phone. I have an email address as well. It's Rachel B, RACHELB, @awareak.org. But the best thing to do is pick up the phone and call us, 586-1090.
Thank you. You did that very well. I appreciate the chance to make sure that everyone understands that this advocacy training is coming up available. And is there pre-registration? Should people call you for that?
Can call or email me about that. People are welcome to sign up ahead of time. Taking applications from people, registration forms right now. They can be found on our website, and I can also share them with people. If they give a call, I can mail them, or they can stop by and pick them up, fax them, whatever works. And the easiest thing to do, I think, is give me a call, and we can sign them up, and we'll, because we have some space, we'll accept people's registration up to the first day of the training on the 16th. So anytime between now and then will be great.
All right, Rachel. Thank you for that detail. So this is what's currently coming up from AWARE for advocacy training. Did you have something else to tell us?
I think that's all. I just hope everyone's enjoying this great early fall weather.
Early fall weather. And so advocacy training begins Monday the 16th. You can call AWARE or email Rachel B, @awareak.org. www.theawareshelter.org to register for the class. And it's for people who know they want to participate or for people who are interested in learning lots more about the issue of domestic violence and how we can strengthen our community and our families.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
He said it's my fault that he had to get so angry. My fault that he hit me when he did. My fault, and I just had to learn my lesson for making him so angry that he had to treat me bad. I never understood what I did to make him hate me. I never understood how to keep his temper calm. We had such good times in between his anger, even though the calm was just before another storm. He hit me on the back so nobody else would see it. He hit me on my head so the bruise would not be seen. One time on the street he knocked me down and started pounding, and the cars just kept driving by, no one seemed to see. He said it's my fault that he had to get so angry. My fault that he hit me when he did. My fault, I just had to learn my lesson for making him so angry that he had to treat me bad. He always said, I'm sorry, I won't ever treat you badly again. Why do you make me blow up this way? The quiet times between the storms came fewer in between. The reasons for exploding just made less sense every day. I don't know what kept me from telling friends about it. I always hoped that love would find a way to calm him down. I knew my friends would say, don't be a fool, why don't you leave him? And I didn't know how to explain I needed him around. He said, it's my fault that he had to get so angry. My fault that he hit me when he did. My fault, I just had to learn my lesson for making him so angry that he had to treat me bad. I knew I couldn't raise my children with this man of violence. I knew I loved him underneath, but still I couldn't stay. The hardest thing I did was leave the man I loved behind. But I knew that the cost was worth the price to pay. 'Cause it was his fault, that he always got so angry. His fault, that he chose to act that way. His fault, it was always his decision to use his fist instead of words. There was nothing I could say. Use his fist instead of words. There was nothing I could say.
The Montagues and the Capulets, the Jets and the Sharks, the Horns and the Violins. The only performance in Alaska of an innovative and provocative string and brass collaboration, Boston Brass and Enzo String Quartet, will be performing Notes from the Balcony, Romeo and Juliet in Music, 8 p.m. Friday, September 20th at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. Tickets at jahc.org, Hearthside Books, and The Jack. Sponsored by KATH. Major support from the National Endowment for the Arts. This message is brought to you by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Thank you.
So that was the Juno Afternoon today. On Thursday at 3 on K2FM, you can hear Shona Strasser hosting. We'll get a preview of the Juno Pride Chorus's upcoming season. Corey Mills and Beverly Schoonover will be here to highlight this weekend's Brewfest. Lori Haywood and Tom Loescher will be here with a preview of Sunday's Juno Cabaret at Rockwell. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. That, Writer's Almanac, Music, and More, Thursday at 3 on K2 News. If you miss a Juno Afternoon or want to listen again, you can catch it and other local, statewide, national, and international news at k2.org. Go to the K2 homepage, click on Juno Afternoon. And now it's time for the Translator ID. This is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on cable, that's GCI cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at K2.org. Support for national programming on K2 comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. For the weather forecast, rain developing by late evening tonight, then diminishing. Thursday, decreasing clouds, slight chance of rain early in the morning. Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 46. And on Friday, partly cloudy. Okay, the Boston Quartet, Enzo Quartet and Boston Brass. This has been Ann Fuller with the Juno Afternoon. Thanks for listening.